Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Oh, goody. James Harden, new deal will be a two-year contract with a player option for the second year. He's taking a $15 million pay cut, declining his $47 million player option. That's nice. He has to. Number one, he's not worth $47 million anymore. Number two, it is best for the team that he does this because it gives them more financial flexibility. So that's a good thing. So that's a good thing in terms of giving them financial flexibility. Now, we already knew that he had turned down the $46 million. We knew he'd take less, so he's going to take what, $15 million less to sign a new two-year deal. Now the bottom line is, if he were to get half and take 23, that'd probably be what he is actually worth now. But it's a team discount that he's doing. He's going to get paid $32 million. Player option is in there as well, which is good for him, and it's good for the team that he's doing that. It's good for the Sixers. Sixers have to figure out a way to get out of the second round. They haven't been out of the second round since 2001. Is that the year Iverson took them to the finals? I think that's the last time they got past the second round. Too much talent to just be a one. To win one round, and that's it. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Play-by-play call of the day. Another big bomb in the Phillies game.
And the pitch. Hit deep down the line and right. And this one is going to be a fair ball. It hit the pole. And it's a home run for Derek Hall. A line drive. It bangs off the pole. And it's his fourth homer. And it's a 5-2 Phillies lead.
Scott Fransky with the call, as heard on Eagle 106 Radio Network. Phillies right now, and they've done a great job of compensating for the loss of pitching has been better, bullpen's been better, and they've got power. All right, there's one big chip left in the college game. There's only one left. Yes, don't start throwing out names and, oh, Clemson's left, Oregon's left. No, it's the chip is if you've improved the financial lot of every school in the conference you are going to. That's the only way you are a big chip. You have to improve the financial lot for every team in your conference. There's only one of those left. It's Notre Dame. But that's been too long. Let's bring in Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Appreciate you having me on, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. How about you, Matt?
Doing well. Busy as usual, but it's been good for business, so who am I to complain?
It has been good for everybody's business to talk about this. All right, so obviously, you know, John Wilner's a great reporter, and this story is his baby. And I think all of us were, really? So what was your reaction? And then after a couple of days, did you change that reaction?
My initial reaction, Steve, was surprised, more so the timing than anything else. I thought and still think it's kind of inevitable that every powerful football brand is going to eventually assimilate under the Big Ten or SEC umbrella. I didn't see it happening that quickly, though. Not that to make the alliance to be out to be something bigger than it was, which was really nothing other than a show of posture. That part of it surprised me a little bit because it didn't even last a full year. Again, not that this is new Pac-12 Commissioner George Klavkov's fault per se, but it seemed like he had a really good handle and showed support and unity since he took over 364 days before that news broke last week on the last day of the fiscal year. So I was surprised by the timing, and like everyone else, I'm just kind of waiting for the next domino to fall and see what's next, because much like with last year's news with Texas, Oklahoma, it rarely happens in a nutshell. It's usually one big thing that happens that leads to many other smaller things happening. And I think we're all kind of waiting on pins and needles to see what those other things may be.
And, of course, the biggest chip left in the game is Notre Dame. They go to the beat of their own drum, Matt, as you and I know. Is there a point, though, where now they have it might be dictated that they can't just go to the beat of their own drum anymore?
Yeah, Steve, I think the calculus has changed a little bit for Notre Dame. I mean, I think, for as long as they've fielded a football program, anytime something happens in the greater college football world, one of the media follow-up questions, right, is, oh, so does this mean Notre Dame has to relinquish its football independence? And my answer the previous 100 times has always been no. They're at a good spot. I thought that to be particularly true last year during the SEC's movement, because at that point in time, we were under the assumption that the new playoff field was already set. New playoff format was going to be 12 teams, and Notre Dame was going to be one of those teams in it. And their athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, was one of the architects of that 4-team proposal that eventually fell through. Now, there's a little bit more uncertainty, but even more than that, I just think our idea of a conference by dictionary definition has completely evolved over the last week. I mean, I think the fear in Notre Dame country was always, well, why would we join the Big Ten? They've already got a bunch of Midwest football powers. We would just kind of be another one of those, for lack of a better term. Well, ever since last week, the Big Ten's no longer a Midwest conference. I mean, I don't even know if I'd call it a conference per se. It's a group of schools literally from coast to coast that all share for the most part similar academic identities and missions and play a lot of good football and all have very valuable brands. And so, to me, if you're Notre Dame, if you were to join the Big Ten tomorrow, I don't think you're sacrificing any of your national reach. You're still playing games in California probably every year. You're still getting to the East Coast probably every year. You're getting a much tougher football schedule. And, oh, by the way, now with this USC and UCLA move, I mean, that media rights package that's coming up, it's probably going to net every Big Ten school north of $100 million per year. And that's a number that at some point just becomes too big to gap on your own. I mean, to bridge on your own. I mean, Notre Dame, they were getting rich off their NBC deal when they first signed it 20, 30 years ago. Right now, they're making $15 to $20 million off it, and they're making maybe 10 off their Olympic sports from the ACC. So I just think you get out your calculators, you do the long-term math. I mean, as long as that current ACC deal runs, which is through 2036, and who knows what the world will look like then, we're talking about $1 billion potentially being left on the table long term if you're Notre Dame by not joining the Big Ten. So I think that's something that at least has their attention in a way that previous moves did not.
Right. And I mean, look, they stayed away from bowl games till 1970. Mm-hmm. They've stayed away from conferences except when the ACC gave them a lifeboat to play games in 2020. But their biggest rival is now going to be a Big Ten team.
Right.
And that's USC. So let me flip this for a moment. How enamored are Notre Dame fans, whether they're alums or the Subway alumni, about the 5 ACC games they play every year?
I think they were initially when this deal got put together about 10 years ago, because remember, at that point in time, the Big East was collapsing. Notre Dame had to find a place for its Olympic sports. And, I think they're there's just as much similarity, if you will, between Notre Dame's mission with most of the ACC schools as are with the Big Ten. Obviously, again, big Midwest football power, but the ACC also has the perfect kind of mix of public and power, public and private academic institutions. And Notre Dame has long been viewed kind of as an East Coast school that just happens to be located in the Midwest. So I thought it was a good deal at the time. I still think it's a good deal right now because Notre Dame still has the freedom to schedule pretty much whoever it wants. And ACC football just is not Big Ten football outside of Clemson and maybe one or two other teams every year. Like, Notre Dame has had their way with ACC competition to the point where, you start gaming this thing out long term and you look at expanded playoffs and you look at potential schedules. There's no question Notre Dame would have a much tougher football schedule playing a full Big Ten slate than they would playing five ACC football teams a year. You throw in the fact that the money would obviously be astronomically higher. And I think Notre Dame fans and alums are a lot more open to that idea of going two feet in with one conference than they ever were before. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of important people there who have their reservations about it. And again, this is something the school looks at as much as an institutional identity as they do a football one. And I don't think this is a decision that will be made by one person in the athletic department or even one person on the board. It's going to be a collaborative, deliberate decision that's probably going to take some time here. I do think the idea of joining a conference is completely different now than it was even a week ago.
Yeah, which is interesting. They're in a spot where, again, as I mentioned, they've been able to kind of do things the way they want to do it and have done well. But this, what's interesting for the Big Ten is this. This move is made while they were in TV negotiations. So now they can negotiate with having USC and UCLA in their back pocket with the deal. That's why it hasn't come out yet. Notre Dame's deal with NBC doesn't run out till 2025. Do you think everybody can be patient for them, and how patient can Notre Dame be because of that?
Yeah, I thought, again, after last week's news, again, in hindsight, it made some sense, right? Like, this is why the Big Ten has yet to announce its TV deal that we thought would have been done by now. They obviously were working on some other things behind the scenes and were increasing their media rights value. Which, again, that deal still hasn't been signed and announced yet or fully negotiated out yet. So that makes you think, hey, they want to bring Notre Dame to the table right now and be as valuable as possible to their media partners. The sense I got in, though, is that the Big Ten isn't exactly putting Notre Dame's feet to the fire right now, nor is Notre Dame itching to make a decision immediately. The playbook I've been told to turn to is essentially what Notre Dame did when they made that initial ACC move 10 years ago in 2012. I mean, the Big East was falling apart. Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, had publicly, even floated the idea of finding a temporary home for its Olympic sports for a year before they can figure out a long-term situation. They weren't the first to move, and they weren't the last to move. And in some ways, I think that could be the case here as well. Now, the interesting part with the NBC deal, by all accounts, NBC wants a piece of this Big Ten deal. And I'd be curious if there's any language in that contract in Notre Dame to see if that can be reopened and renegotiated should NBC not be, or Notre Dame not be, the exclusive college football program playing every week on NBC. I think there's some dynamics there that have to shake out as well.
Back in the day, I think all of us knew that between Father Hesburgh and Father Joyce, we knew who was running the show at Notre Dame. Jack Swarbrick, no question, has really done a great job there. Have you ever had any read, Matt, on Father Jenkins, John Jenkins, as to what kind of how he feels about athletics and how he feels about the world we're in right now?
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. He's a guy for as prominent of a post as he holds, and for as long as he's held that post, really doesn't appear in the public eye a whole lot or offer a whole lot to tip his hand either way. I think he has a very good working relationship with Jack Swarbrick. He trusts Jack Swarbrick to do what's in the best interest. of that university. You know, I believe they were students together at Notre Dame at the same time in the 70s. Now, I don't know if they were dorm mates or buddy buddies or anything like that. That's another interesting wrinkle that, that I think at least lets the public know that they're probably coming at this from the same place. Now, again, I do think this is bigger than an athletic department or team decision. You know, when they had to make a football coaching hire in December, Jack Sorbick had free rein to do the search as he sees fit. He obviously promoted Marcus Freeman from within about a 3 or 4 day span after Brian Kelly left. And Father Jenkins was actually in Rome at the time. Mm-hmm. And I believe he zoomed in for one or two interviews, but you know, they like, this was Jack Sorbick's decision. This it's not going to be done, I think, in that manner, if and when Notre Dame makes a move on independence or joining a conference. I mean, I remember they had to delay Marcus Freeman's public introduction and press conference. He got announced on a Friday. They introduced him on a Monday so that Father John could get back. Like, I think it'll be done via more than just Zoom channels this time around, as far as whatever decision Notre Dame ends up making. And again, I think the board will be heavily involved in this, much like they were back in 1999 when they decided not to go to the Big Ten, when that was last on the table. But I'll be curious to see the timeline of all this.
Yeah, Father Malloy's name never came up in 99 when he was the president of Notre Dame. It was the faculty senate voted, yes, we want to do this, because, you know, obviously with the academic share, no question. But then the board of trustees, and I think the meeting was in Dublin.
It
was in London. Okay. They weren't even on this continent at the time. Everybody picks different spots to do things, Matt. So let's go to London.
Well, it's funny. I found the old letter that they sent out to the student body last week. We found a colleague of mine and myself, and we were reading it, and it was explaining in vivid detail to the Notre Dame constituency why they elected not to do this. And it was just really funny reading it, you know, with the benefit of hindsight and with, you know, 23 years removed. And we couldn't believe the media interest. There were newspapers staked out in our hotel ballrooms. One, the idea of a newspaper having the money to send anyone overseas right now is pretty novel. But seeing the way the media ecosystem has changed a little bit in two decades since is pretty laughable as well.
Are there any other chips on the table among the others across the country, Matt? Because this is all about you don't expand unless they can enhance the financial number.
Right.
I mean, because now it becomes more mouths to feed and everybody gets less. Is there anybody out there that has the ability outside of Notre Dame that can enhance a financial number?
Yeah, Steve, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. And that's another interesting kind of subplot of all this, right? I think Notre Dame is the one out there right now that would absolutely make all 16 teams in the Big Ten or SEC richer if they were to join tomorrow. I don't know if there's any individual schools or any pair of schools that can say the same. Now, is this a game of chicken? Is the SEC looking at, say, North Carolina, which is probably a swing vote, if you will? I could see them in either one of those conferences long term. Mm-hmm. And they happen to have a major national brand that sits in the 10th largest state in the country and the biggest state in the country that is not currently a part of the SEC or Big Ten territories. Right. Does the SEC make a move on them or try to make a move on them as a proactive measure to keep the Big Ten from getting them first? Because again, if all roads lead to a Big Two, those Big Two are going to go at each other's throats, and they're going to want the best product to punch back against the other, the ESPN conference versus the Fox conference, for lack of a better term. So I do wonder how much of that is at play here, how much of it is a game of chicken and just accumulating as many assets as possible versus, hey, we're all doing pretty well financially here. Let's not make any other moves that are going to cut our pieces of the pie any further.
All right, so then that brings this element up, since you brought up North Carolina, which is an AAU school. Notre Dame, by the way, is not, but there are exceptions to every rule. But they're an AAU school. We know what they bring to the table. You talked about all the dynamics, the brand, as well as the territory. How difficult, based on the research that's been done, is it to break the ACC grant of rights?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason no one's tried to get, right? Steve, I mean, my colleague Andy Staples had a really thorough story last Friday. I'd encourage everyone to read it, where he prints the grant of rights and he talks to a lawyer who studied it into the detail and tried to come up with ways legally they would go about trying to break it. And look, rest assured, leadership at some of those top ACC schools have explored and are continuing to explore every potential legal loophole they can find in the event they do get an invite from the Big Ten or SEC and they want to try to break that grant of rights. It's real money. I mean, I'm talking nine figures minimum, as far as what you'd be sacrificing. Now, it's only three pages long. It's pretty intentionally light on specific details, and it's essentially an ambiguous number that you would, the ACC would determine your media rights value is at. And again, that's over the next 14 years, so it's going to be significant. Now, I think there are some schools in the ACC that would argue and that are hoping Notre Dame makes a move to another conference, and they can essentially argue to the ACC, hey, our value, what we signed up for, has been significantly diminished by the absence of our biggest moneymaker not playing five football games a year against us. And that's why, you know, again, for a number of reasons, but that one in particular, the ACC, Notre Dame's next move has got everyone watching with bated breath.
Matt, Notre Dame, of course, the football part does not have any role in the grant of rights, but the other does. How reduced is the Notre Dame number compared to everybody else?
I don't have a solid answer for that, but knowing the way these media rights deals work, I mean, I would guess that's, you know, we're talking, say, $100 million for a full member, I'd say it's probably $10 to $20 million for non-football. I mean, football is 80-90% of the revenue here. And again, it's not a small chunk of change, but it's not prohibitive either when you're talking about long-term decision-making.
So let's have fun and guess. What would your guess be? 5 years from now, Notre Dame is where?
Oof, five. Jeez. What's the score? Tell me what the playoff system is 5 years from now.
Right, I don't know what the playoff system is.
5 years from now, I say they're in whatever the Big Ten's calling itself. But 5 years is a long time from now.
Oh, it'll stay the Big Ten. That's a corporate name. Matt, you don't teach your children through sports, all right? The Big Ten has 16. Right, Missouri's in the SEC East. You don't teach your kids through sports.
The Pac-12 can go back to the Pac-10 now.
Yes, they can. They can swing back. You know, the ones I feel sorriest for, I feel bad for Oregon State, Washington State. I feel, and really Cal and Stanford to a point, because I feel like they're in no man's land.
I would agree with you. I think Stanford has an outside shot due to their academics and their relationship with Notre Dame, where if they want to go even, I think they have a chance.
Yes.
But I'm with you. The Oregon States and Washington States of the world are in pretty dire straits right now.
Stanford's chip is Notre Dame.
Yes, absolutely.
I absolutely agree with you, Matt. That's really, as always, a pleasure. Let's talk more, my friend. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Matt Fortuna from The Athletic. Half hour to go. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Friday. That means it's Brewers Outlet Day. Stock up for the weekend. Yeah, might as well do it now since we're talking about it. Put the show on in the car as you drive over. Don't care whether you're home or at work. Yeah, why don't you go on over? Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Yeah, tell them to call back. And again, this is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. and a service department that takes care of it all. Yeah, the routine, oil changes, so forth. Inspections, the tough stuff, diagnostics, they do it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We've done a lot on expansion. We got the Notre Dame part in. Notre Dame is in no rush. There will not be people pulling deals off the table if Notre Dame, quote, waits too long. And that is, and that's, they're willing to play the waiting game with Notre Dame. Because, again, they're the last big chip at the table. Well, when you're the last big chip at the table, that's why you go in that direction. All right? People call them dominoes. I think they're a chip. In other words, I'm not so sure that if Notre Dame goes that all these dominoes are going to fall all over the place. No. There may be some movement of parts between Big 12, Pac-12, but not... Yeah, Jack Swarbrick said, you know, there's ample time for us to let the landscape settle. He's right. There is. And people will wait for him. Their TV contract's up in 2025. People will wait. The Big Ten and the SEC, I don't think, are adding anybody right now. You sit back and you play the waiting game on this school. Because this is the only school out there that frees the payout for everybody just by their addition. Nobody else can do that. There's some really good schools out there. It's nothing to do with the quality of the school or the quality of how they play. There's nothing to do with that. It has to do with brand power. Dick from Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you?
How are you? You might have covered it, and I'm sure you have. I just really wanted to give a shout-out to Kale Sanderson for extending his contract. And he's got he has the best program of any one sport in college sports today. That's every sport. I don't care what the sport is. You can basketball, football, lacrosse, you name them all. His is the best program in any sport.
And I totally agree with
undeniable,
that.
Undeniably, winning as many championships as anybody. It's phenomenal. And as I say, I talked to my brother today and he said, well, there's no details out. It might be one day, one year, or who knows how long it's going to be. Well, whatever it is, I'm glad he got extended his contract.
Yeah, and it's not only that he wins team titles and they win individual titles, but they graduate an extremely high percentage of the wrestling student athletes. I mean, they really do check every box that a great program has to have, in my opinion. They check every one of those boxes. And he's, you know, and look, he's the reason why. And I don't know how often you've had a chance to meet him or talk with him. He's the kind of guy, Dick, that the more I talk to him as the years go by, the more you like him, because he's just flat out, he's just down to earth, and he's great at what he does. He doesn't have to tell anybody he's great at what he does.
His staff's phenomenal. I mean, they stick with him. I mean, I'm sure they've had opportunities, some of them, to move on if they wanted to. You know, realistically, if you're a number one or number two assistant on that team and there's opening somewhere, I'm sure that they're approached. I mean, you never know that, or may know it or not know it. But they stick with Kale because of the way he does stuff there, and I think they must be rewarded well. That's all I know.
Well, I think I'll give you an equivalency to Kale's staff is Chris Daly at UConn with Gino Auriemma. She's been there the entire time, and everybody knows that people have contacted her about going. It's the same story with the assistant coaches here. Of course they've been contacted by other people. They don't go, just like Chris Daly hasn't left UConn women's basketball. You know, they understand how great they have it. And they also understand the person that they're working for makes it that way.
Well, you know this better than most people. There's a lot of advantages of growing up. If you don't want to be in a city, staying in state college is an ideal place to raise a family.
And nobody knows that better than I do because, I mean, that's exactly what we did with our five. And it's a great place to raise a family, great atmosphere to raise it in, great school system along the way. And look, and Cale fits in tremendously in this community. He's a guy that's accomplished everything in his profession and in his sport, and you'd never know it because he doesn't talk about it. You know, people are always putting out, just trying to keep themselves relevant all the time. Cale doesn't even think about that nonsense. He just wants to go out and make people around him better.
Well, over the years, as many times as I've been to NCAA and as many times as they've won, they always have the fan fest afterwards, and they bring the wrestlers out, and Cale comes out. When that first started years ago, he was a man of very few words, and now he never says a lot sometimes, but sometimes he does talk a lot. You know, he does say a lot more than he used to. He's a little bit more outgoing with the crowd like that.
Yeah, I remember the first time I interviewed him, he was a wrestler. He had won the national championship. That's the first time I did a one-on-one with him. The next time I did a one-on-one with him was when he got the job here. And eloquent, thoughtful, but now, instead of talking in a few sentences here and there, he's giving you paragraphs. Because he is just more comfortable and more trusting of the questions he's getting now, and I think that's made a big difference.
Well, the year he won his first championship, and it was at Bryce Jordan, and I actually worked a floor table there. There was eight people to a table, and I actually worked, and he wrestled in front of me that Thursday, which was kind of neat. I mean, that as a memory, and so did Brock Lesnar, who is going on to different things. Obviously, WWE and MMRI, whatever the different things he's entered. But both of them wrestled in front of me on our table that Thursday, which was kind of neat to have.
a lot of greatness there out on the mats that particular weekend. And
but
again,
anyhow, I'm sure it's a lot. Most people know it, but I'd just be remiss in not saying. Not only that, by extending his contract, kids that think about coming to Penn State are that much more sure they're probably going to come here now.
Oh, of course. I mean, and not only that, but also the Nittany part of it, too. I mean, this has become the epicenter of where people want to be for wrestling. And then in 2024, and it's what are we now, 21 months away? 20 months away from having the Nationals here to determine the Olympic team?
Yeah.
Pretty special. Pretty special.
Well, I'm 78. I don't think in terms of 2 years or 3 years down the road. I'm always glad for yesterday and tomorrow.
You know what? I think all of us are.
I just wanted to mention that he really is. He's a wonderful coach, and anything else he gets, he's very well earned.
He has earned all the praise that people lavish on him, and at the same time, he'll say thank you for it, and that will be the extent of it. It's just the kind of guy he is. He just works every day to make everybody around him better. And Cale Sanderson, Penn State's so fortunate to have somebody that special on its staff and running, as you said correctly, the best single program in the country.
Well, to me it is, and I know football is the name of the game at Penn State, then followed up by basketball. But as much as I like those sports, wrestling still is just to me is Penn State right now.
and Cale understands the finances of it. I mean, he wants football to be ultra successful. He wants basketball to be ultra successful. He knows it's good for the entire athletic department financially. His job is to make his program ultra successful with the resources he has, and he keeps doing it over and over again. And he is remarkable because, he and the guys in his staff, they have been the constants the entire time through all the championships.
And he has a very devoted following.
Well, he earned it. He's earned it.
That's exactly right. Let's move on to football, and good luck with him this year.
Look, it's going to be a big year for them, and let's just see now how it plays out.
See you, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. All right. Yeah, we talked about Cale's contract earlier. in the extension, but there's no details on length or terms or anything like that. But he's such a plus to not just athletics, he's a plus to the entire university. What he's done, in fact, he's done it the right way. You know, even people who are casual wrestling fans are proud beyond words about what he's done and what this means. All right, one final break. Back with the final moments of the show in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patron.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up now for the weekend. All right. I was reading an article. Next week is the Open Championship. 150th, it'll be at St. Andrews. Now, you can play the old course. It is a, quote, public course. And some of the caddies are telling stories. He says, when caddy says, we'll let the others in the group hit, and I try to tell my guy that it's okay. And it was just the release of nerves as to why he hit it off the toe in a bad swing. Tee it up, bridge left to the green, good swing, no problem, right? Wrong. Same swing, same contact, toe shank driver that careened across the tee, across the practice putting green, hitting the fence on the other side and trickling down a path, finally stopping on the other side of the starter's hut behind the first tee. I picked up the ball. We just walked down the fairway. Needless to say, it was a long day. That happens. Another caddy says it was the early 2000s, late in the summer. I got the bag of an American guy at the old course, said David, in the caddy pavilion. He was a big guy, tall, ripped, really friendly and chatty, and clearly very excited to play the old. We pair up with a couple of other players, tee off on the first. The guy walks off the tee, and I followed behind with the other caddies and noticed after about 40 or 50 yards, he had stopped. My first thought is that maybe he had forgotten something and was going to take his camera out and take a photo. He was pretty... Turns out he had just returned from a military tour of Afghanistan and was using his first leave from duty in 2 years to travel to Scotland to play the old course. And the feeling after he walked off the first tee overwhelmed him. So that'll be next week, the old course, Swilcombe Bridge, everything at St. Andrews. All right. It's been obviously eventful the past 8 days. We've tried to cover every base. We don't think moves that really anything else is happening right now. Said that for 8 days. I just think that you have to wait to see what the biggest chip does before anybody else makes a move. And again, I don't think you make a move unless you have to make a move. It has to be a move that brings more money to everybody in the conference, not just to the one who gets invited. Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera received the commissioner's nod today to be in the All-Star game. That's great. There are three players in the history of the game that have 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, and 600 doubles. Hank Aaron's one, Cabrera and Pujols are the other two. And that is great for the All-Star game when they are introduced. The Dodgers will obviously get great rounds of applause. But when those two are introduced, it's going to be sustained. 3 to 5 minutes for each, probably, I would guess. I was at PNC Park in Pittsburgh when the Padres were playing the Pirates, and Tony Gwynn did not start the game. But in the eighth inning, they brought him off the bench to pinch hit. And when he walked to the plate, he got a 5-minute standing ovation. People appreciate the greatness of the players like the late Tony Gwynn, as well as Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera. It's a really nice touch that they will be in the All-Star game a week, July 19th, at the Chavez Ravine Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. All right. We'll also see what next week brings, even though, I mean, I won't be here to talk about it, but we'll see what next week brings in terms of maybe a verbal commitment. Penn State got another one today in football. You'll have to look it up. And we may find out about another one that could be very important on Monday. We'll see. And the young man they got today was from Florida. That's from down south. They got verbal commits from Florida, Florida, Alabama, Alabama, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Virginia. Wow. As of today, they have verbal commitments of 3 offensive linemen, 2 tight ends, 2 receivers, 3 defensive linemen, 2 corners, 3 safeties, and somebody to be classified as an athlete. 5 of them are from Pennsylvania, 3 from Virginia, 3 from Florida, 2 from New York, 2 Alabama, 1 New Jersey. That's the breakdown so far. All right. Great job today. Our thanks to Matt Fortuna, The Athletic, Bill Bender's Sporting News. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And yes, James Harden is going to take $15 million less because he wants the Sixers to be better. He wants them to be able to have the ability to spend money to bring in more talent. James Harden wants a ring. And so he's going to take $15 million less. Very interesting. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.